for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April the 14th, 1990. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the ministry of the afternoon.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
I'm going to come against witchcraft and sorcery, incest and adultery and fornication and bestiality. I'm going to come against these areas. But there's a whole page full of things there that the Lord says curses inherited that would come upon them from Egypt if they disobeyed the Lord, see. So I'm going to come against them, but then you be open to what the Lord shows you, even while we're praying or at a later time, and then you do likewise. Okay. Father, I stand today in behalf of this congregation and myself as the priest here today, and I come in the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written that in Jesus' name we have authority and dominion over the powers of Satan and his demonic forces. And the blood of Jesus cleanses and washes us from sin. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Calvary that cleanses and washes us. I thank you, Jesus, that it is written that you became a curse so that we do not have to bear the curse. Now, Father, I come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, and I apply and I appropriate the fact that Jesus became that curse in our behalf. And I take authority and dominion this afternoon over the curses of our ancestral line and inheritance. And I put the blood of Jesus between us and the sins of our ancestors. And I take authority and dominion over these curses. And I break the dominion of them over our lives in the name of Jesus. I break, come against the curse of witchcraft and sorcery. I break the power and dominion of it in Jesus' name over us this afternoon. I come against the spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism and bestiality. I break the curse of it over us in Jesus' name. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to separate. And I break that curse in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I come against the curse of adultery and fornication and divorce. I break the curse of the inherited curse of it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I loose us from it. Father, I come against the curse of not giving you the glory. I come against the curse of not paying our tithes. I come against the curse of not keeping our pledge, Lord, when we've made a pledge to you. I come against the abominations, the abominable things, Lord, that we have brought into our homes, Lord, that were abominable in your sight. I come against the curses of it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind and break the powers of witchcraft and sorcery. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. And I break those dominions. And I go back for 30 generations in our inherited family lines, and I break these dominions, and I take Satan's rights away, and I cut the soul ties, and I loose us from the powers of satanic dominion, and I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I come against adultery and fornication. I come against witchcraft and sorcery and voodoo, and I come against alcohol and drugs in every area. I break these dominions and these powers, and I loose us from them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I bind up the satanic powers of Satan, and I loose the glory of the Lord to come and move in our hearts and lives this afternoon. I come against water witching. I come against fortune telling. I come against handwriting analysis, tea leaf reading. I come against all these areas in our lives, and I break the inherited curse and take Satan's rights away, and I loose us from it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus' name. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Father, ask you, and I thank you for the angels of the Lord that are here with us this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for move the angels taking these spirits and binding them, breaking them. Now, I come against the familiar spirit of diseases. I come against the inherited familiar spirit of diseases. I bind and break your dominion, you familiar spirits of disease. I bind and break your dominion over us for 30 generations back. I take your rights away, the inherited familiar spirits of inherited diseases, heart trouble, problems in the mind, liver problems, kidney problems, problems in the intestines, problems in the female and male organs. I come against these areas of inherited familiar diseases, and I break the curses of them in Jesus' name. And Father, any other curse that there is, there's many of them, Father. So I commit them unto you, and I loose us from them in the name of Jesus. I come against the problems of the eyes and hearing with speech. I break the curses of them and loose us from them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and break the dominion of Satan over our lives in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, and I praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you learn anything? Now, he just gets all over my subject, too, so it must be... I don't ever confer with him. I don't dare tell him what I'm going to talk about, and he doesn't tell me. So since we're both up here at the same time this afternoon, but I'm going to come against the curses of disobedience in the realm of diseases. And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 28, if you will. Now, you know, we don't like to think that God would put anything on us, but he says he will. In the 15th verse of Deuteronomy 28, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, that says all, A-double-L, and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, I was sitting there thinking, I wish I had known all this when I was 10 or 12 years old, don't you? We wouldn't have to suffer so much and go through so much. And all these younger people, I praise God for them as they grasp this knowledge, that they will not have to go through what we old-timers have had to pioneer, really. Now, he lists several curses, but I'm going down to the 20th verse. Now, you say you're reading out of the Old Testament. Yes, I am. Now, if you're going to throw this out, then you must throw out Psalms 91. You must throw out Psalms 53, Psalms 23. You must throw out Isaiah 60, Isaiah 53. You see, God never changes. He's after us to change. He says, and I'll change you little by little. We could not handle being changed all at once. We would pass out. Couldn't take it, could we? We had a great meeting upstairs a while ago. We were coming against the occult, and Satan really was stirred up and mad. He left screaming and yelling, just like Bible days. All right, the 20th verse says, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Now, this is the curses of disobedience. We have a lot of curses of obedience. Now, blessings of obedience. How many would rather obey God than to suffer? But if we don't want to obey him, then we got to get the consequences. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. And then the next verse says he'll smite thee with consumption. That's TB. We used to have a terrible dilemma of TB when I was young. My aunt died with it. And with a fever, there's all kinds of fevers today in America, underlying fever from milk, cows, typhoid fever, malaria. Some people just run a low-grade fever all the time. They have fever every day. Doctors don't even know what it is. The Lord said, I'm going to smite you with a fever. How many fears God here today? Amen. If you don't, you should read these verses over and over. It wouldn't hurt you to go back and read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy and study them. I mean, look at them. And with inflammation and with extreme burning and with the sword, with the blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And he goes on to say he's going to make the rain, the land powder and dust, and he's going to, the 27th verse, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt. A lot of people say this is cancer, boils, things that are incurable, with the emerods, that's hemorrhoids, with the scab. There's a lot of people, I think acute acne would be considered that. You know, even after they pass the years of eating candy and junk foods and 15-year-old and so on, you're supposed to pass that breaking out. There's a lot of people that has terrible breaking out and scabs on them, and they're 30, 40 years old, and it just stays with them. That's a curse. And with the itch, this must be the 7-year itch. It could be psoriasis. It could be many things that would cause you problems and torment. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, that's insanity, blindness, astonishment of heart, that's heart trouble. You think we have any of that today? Glenn just said the reason why God said, you know, we'd rather listen to a doctor. Everybody's all stirred up about this eating fat now, aren't they? Cholesterol. How do you say that? Cholesterol? Cholesterol. But they wouldn't listen to God. And he knew about this from years. He's always known about it. You shall grope in the darkness as blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. There's lots of people have holes in the bottom of their purses. They make big money and never have a dime. They don't have anything. They're in debt every week. Checks are bouncing, and they don't have a thing. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. I think we've got plenty of that in the body of Christ, and outside the body of Christ, it's all over everywhere. You build a house, and there's a lot of people losing their homes these days. They're getting foreclosed on. They can't pay for them. They've gone over too much in debt. You plant a vineyard, and somebody else gathers your grapes, and so on and so forth. And let's go down now. I'm rushing this. There's a lot of tapes back here on this. Let's go down to 45th verse. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commands thee. That's pretty scary, isn't it? We better heed the voice of the Lord. Now I'm turning. 47. I was just getting ready to do it. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You know, every day I thank the Lord for good water here in Arkansas. There's a lot of places don't have good water. And there's a lot of places don't have food. There's a lot of people don't have clothing. There's a lot of people don't have a roof over their head. The homeless. You see, we have a lot of things to be thankful for. Therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. The Lord is doing all these things. Is this the God of love that we know? Yes, but he demands. He's not playing church. He's not playing church with his end time army. He wants us to straighten out or shape up or ship out. And if we don't ship out and we do all these things, we'll be shipped out in our caskets. Is that what the Lord is saying? I mean, this is serious business. And then look at I'm skipping around, but look at the 60th verse. Well, the 59th verse. Well, the 58th verse. It's all good, but you can read all this. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, there's no fear. There's very little fear in the body of Christ. The fear of God is to hate evil. That's one thing. Most people say, well, whatever turns you on, that's okay. I don't bother with that. That's okay if you want to do that. No, it isn't okay. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of. A lot of people are afraid of cancer these days. They're afraid of heart trouble. They're afraid to die. And they shall cleave unto thee, and also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. There's so many new diseases we can't even call them by name. And AIDS is one of them. And that's because of disobedience to the Lord. I mean, you can whitewash it if you want to, but it's still disobedience. We are commanded to obey the words of the Lord. Now, this is the Lord talking to Moses. This is not Moses' law. Now, Jesus did away. He became the sacrifice. We don't have to kill a sheep or a lamb out here and sacrifice it. But he did not do away with abominable things. He told us how to eat in, where is it, Leviticus 11. He told us, bring no abominable thing in our house, and we just glibly go along and eat what we please and don't tell me how to eat. Well, I'm not telling you how to eat, but God tells you right in here. And so on and so forth, go all the way down. And let me see. And it shall come to pass, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. You know, we are possessing this land, and we are to possess the land out here. But we have to get cleaned up ourselves before the Lord can give us that authority. We will have no authority until we get every little thing out of us. You say, are you talking about perfection? Yes, I am. Because Jesus said, what? Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I remember in the publications business, we put out a brochure we were sort of making satire, and the artist drew up something, and we were talking about our quality control and how perfect we were, and we had this little sign up, some little man was holding it up, and he had a sign, nobody's perfect, he spelled perfect wrong. We did it on purpose, you know. Just spelled perfect wrong. That was the brochure in our publications business. But there's none of us perfect in here today, is there? We're learning. You know why we haven't known all this? The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We haven't read the Bible enough. You know, we like to read something simple and easy. I like to pick up a psalm and read it if I'm not trying to really study something. But if you want to study something, you get on the subject of disobedience, and you'll find, if you don't want to believe the Old Testament, you want to throw that all out, well, get in the New Testament and just read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and see what Jesus told you to do. First off, I'm going to go to Mark, what he told you to do. If you feel sorry for me because this Bible's worn out, I have a lot of new Bibles, but sometimes I can find something in here real quick, and you're always bringing me chapter and verse. You want to know that, so I can find it in here real quick. And a new Bible, I can't find it so quick. Okay. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 16th verse of last chapter of Mark. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And we had a session, when was it, upstairs? We had a session on unbelief upstairs yesterday, I guess it was. These days go one through the other, I can't remember. We were praying in evangelistic temple for a girl that had fallen under the book table, screaming. And I'll make a quick deal of this. The main spirit in her was, it said, my name's unbelief. I kill the Christians. I won't let them believe they're healed. Boy, I thought, well, devil lies a lot, but I think that's pretty much truth. Because a lot of people get healed, and in two or three days they lose their healing. These signs shall follow them that believe. Are you believers here today? Are you sitting in a church where there's signs following? We had all kinds of signs upstairs today. In my name, in the name of Jesus, this is Jesus talking now, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now, we got that down pat, speaking with new tongues, haven't we? Haven't we? Oh, yeah, we got that. But we don't read the very first item. In a dictionary, and all English students will know that the first item in a dictionary that is listed is the important, most important. This is the most important, as Jesus is saying, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. I looked up, I was telling the girls upstairs, there was a man who used to come here to the meetings. He's now deceased. But he come up one day and he says to me, you know, you love these kind of people that come up just before you go to speak. And he said, where in the world is it in the Bible where you vomit up demons? So I said, well, I don't know, but I'll look it up and tell you. And I didn't really know. I just knew I've done it several times when I was getting delivered. And so I was asking the Lord all during the service. I was asking the Lord, and I kept getting this word, cast out. And I didn't mean, you know, I didn't know. I knew to cast out demons, but I didn't know what really happened. And so I was meditating on it the next day before we were going to have the meeting the next night, and I had to give this man an answer. And so I was just sitting up in the chair. I like to sit just like this in the presence of the Lord and just, you know, let him minister to me. And I kept hearing these words, cast out. And I had a dictionary laying beside the chair. You know, all secretaries read dictionaries when we don't have anything to do. So I picked up that dictionary and I looked up cast first, and then the next word down was cast out. And I thought, oh dear, what is this? And the first item is vomit. To vomit, to give a quick jerk and breathe out. And I said, praise God, I got the answer now for this man. So I come in here that night with my dictionary. And I said, someone asked me about this, and I didn't have an answer yesterday, but the Holy Spirit has showed me today what the answer is. I got it out of the dictionary. And so I read it, and he said, amen. I mean, what can you do? So here it is. Cast out devils, that's believers. Speaking with new tongues. How many have the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? They shall take up serpents. Now, we're not snake handlers here. Not hardly.
If you're reading that, I need to come over here.
All right.
The original does not say that. The original does not say take up serpents. It says they shall remove demons.
Which
it doesn't say take up serpents, but it's implying that the demon is a serpent. If you want to look, you find your concordance and look up, and you'll find that it doesn't say the word serpents. And that's twisted by some so-called Pentecostals that they can handle snakes, see? And they take it, and it's a twisting of the scripture, and that is just a slight mistranslation, and they've taken it and made a cult out of it.
Yes, yes. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Well, when we're traveling across country, some of the water we have to drink, I say, Lord, this is not going to hurt me, but I don't like it. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, a lot of people want a miracle just like this. They want to be healed just like this. But a doctor will tell you if you have an operation, he'll tell you now your recovery will be so many weeks. You know, they do that. So when we lay hands on you and pray for you, it doesn't mean that necessarily that you're going to have a miracle, but a lot of people do. But it does mean, you can claim this, that you're going to recover. Yes. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. You can't do this on your own. Never, never, never. And confirming the word with signs following. And believing is a continuous activity. You have to believe constantly. Now I'm going to go back to Deuteronomy again. And we're going to talk about bring no abominable thing in your house, and then we're going to pray. Oh, there goes my Bible. I do promise that I'm studying other Bibles, but I just happen to like this one. Seventh chapter, the last two verses of the seventh chapter. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not suffer the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. That abomination means that it makes the Lord sick. Makes God sick to his stomach. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, I remember in California, I had a lady call up, and you know, a lot of people like to just kind of slant things, and she called up and she said, I understand that you have a tape by Derek Prince, so called Youth and Children's Deliverance. I said, yes. And they were Baptist. And she said, well, I'd like to order that for my sister. So I said, okay. And then I said, well, you know, there's a prayer meeting tonight, a Bible study over some friend's house. Would you like to come to a home meeting? Now, these home meetings are wonderful if the Holy Ghost is in charge. And so that particular night, it wasn't we weren't in charge or anything, but the lady that was in charge was very, very good. But she taught on something else, and she did not, there wasn't any way for us to pray. But we got out in the street by their car, and we walked out with them, and we were talking with them. We'd never met them before. And they said, well, you know, really that tape is for us. We have a little boy, I think he was he three? And every night, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, this child would wake up, and he'd scream, and he'd be trembling all over, and he'd say, see, see, and they couldn't see anything. And he would just shake all over. They'd have to put him in the bed with them and get him quieted down, and it'd be morning practically before they could go back to sleep. And this had been going on for a long time. And so we prayed about it. We all held hands. We prayed about it, and we went home. And we had been away on a trip in our Winnebago, and I said to Glenn at the breakfast time, run out to the Winnebago and get the butter. We don't have any butter here in the house. He ran out there, and he didn't come back for a long time. Then he comes in with a whole bunch of pans and junk, and they were all mildewed and moldy because the gas had gone off of the refrigerator and it had been sitting out there in the sun. So I was cleaning up that mess on Sunday morning, getting ready to go to church, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, did you ask those people if they have a Buddha in their house? And I just answered him right back out loud. I said, no. And it came so strong, and I went to the phone, and I tried to find their name in the phone book, but I had put their name on my desk pad down at the office. I couldn't find their name in the phone book, but on Monday morning when I went to the office, I called her up, and I said, do you have a Buddha in your house? She said, oh, yes, we have a beautiful 3-foot-high Buddha. We got him in Saigon when we were working for the government during the Vietnam War. I said, that's your problem. That evil spirit, that false god, comes right out of that Buddha every night. No, I didn't know anything about this scripture then. You know, you learn by first it happens, and then you look in here to get some kind of confirmation. Somebody asked me today how you can pray for people that don't want to be delivered. Well, that's in Job 22, the last verse. In the Amplified, it's very clear. You can pray for those who don't want to be delivered by intercessory prayer if you've got clean hands. In other words, if you've been delivered from that. So that's a big, you can get delivered from that. So anyway, I said, you're going to have to throw that Buddha out of your house. She said, oh, no, it costs too much money. Now, if you'll recall, here reading, it was in all our papers, James Robinson had some wealthy man gave him a lot of Eastern religion stuff, all these statues and Buddhas, for his television program. And on the way to go get them, he opened the Bible and saw this for the first time. Don't desire the graven images or the silver and gold that's on them. And so he said to his driver, we can't get that stuff. It's abomination to God. We don't want it either. And so he went and told the man. The man broke it up, said, well, what are we doing? He said, break it to pieces. So they got hammers and they broke it all up. Thousands of dollars worth of artifacts. Well, finally, this woman called me, and she said, well, we're going to sell it. We've decided we'll get rid of it. We'll sell it. I said, oh, my, you want another family to have all this trouble? She said, well, no. Finally, they decided they'd put it out in the alley and break it up, and they did. I said, now you go through your house, and you command that false god in the name of Jesus to get out of your house. Well, this is all new to them. I said, you can do it. You can do it. You can all do this. You don't have to wait on some preacher to come and help you. Just do it. Try it, and you'll like it. And then there was a woman in our prayer group. The next week, I was telling them about what happened, and she said, well, we went to the Buddhist temple and bought our souls for $1. We've got a Buddha and a certificate that we'll go to heaven. We paid $1 for it. And that woman was all crimped up with arthritis, and she always looked black to me. She had this black shadow over her like death, and we prayed for her and told her to go home and burn that thing up. And if you don't know what's abominable, look in. I'm not going to read it because I don't want to riot in here this afternoon. The 11th chapter of Leviticus, and then follow through all the references, and you'll see what's abominable to God. You won't like what you're reading, but you better heed. You better obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. This girl that I was sent by the Lord, really, to pray for that had cancer, she weighed 68 pounds. She was the mother of a three-year-old girl. And her mother was a real estate lady that sold us this property. And her husband, the real estate man, had a heart attack. And they called for Glenn to come up to intensive care. And he went rushing up there, walked right into intensive care, and the doctors were working over him, and he was passed out. Glenn said, "I command the spirit of death," now listen to this, "the spirit of death to come out of this man, and I minister life to him. I command life to come into him." And he came right out of it. Well, he came home from the hospital right away, and praise God. You know, you can experiment on these prayers. Just try it. Just try it. Command, every day I try to remember to command death to come out of me in the name of Jesus. Because every day if we sin, we get our wages, don't we? What's the scripture for that? The wages of sin is death. And we don't need to carry this death in us. Well, their daughter wrote me a little, it was when they can mail these little dinky cards. She wrote a little tiny card. She said, "Thanks for praying for my dad. Will you pray for me? I'm sick too." So her mother never said anything that she was sick. And so I was driving by the house, and the Holy Spirit comes. When he comes down on me in that anointing, I know something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. So it came right down over me, and I was going to town. I didn't want to stop there. It's on the way to town. So I went on to town, did some errands, went to the grocery store, got to the grocery store door, and this glory came down over me again. And I thought, now if I go in there and get ice cream, it's August, and meat, I won't want to stop. I better just go back there and do this right now. So I didn't want to. You know, none of us want to face these things, really. I didn't know what was the matter with her, even. So I walked up, and her father was at the door, and he was crying. I said, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" He said, "Well, they gave her up to die this morning. The clinic has just called us and said that she has cancer of the colon and is not going to live more than 6 weeks. She hadn't eaten anything for days. She was throwing up black liquid, had black diarrhea." And he said, "Go on back in the back room." And her mother's back there with her. When I walked in, she was propped up in bed, and I took one look at her, and she looked like an old witch. She weighed 68 pounds. She was probably about 30, I would imagine. And I heard myself say, I put my hand over my mouth like this. I said, "Oh, I don't know how to pray for you in English. I'll have to pray for you in tongues." And she said in a squeaky, witchy voice, "That'll be all right." So I went over there. The Holy Spirit was still on me. That fire was on me. And I put my hand on her head, and I prayed a few lines in tongues, and that was all that happened. But the sheath of fire was coming down, coming through my arm and into her. And I said, "Honey, you're being healed. Just take all of this. Just receive it." And I just told her, I just kept saying, "Receive it, receive it. This is the Lord healing you." And she said, "I believe it." And it must have lasted 5 minutes, that glory pouring down on her. So her mother said, "Now, I'm going to go home, and I'll take the little girl, 3 years old. I'll take her home, and you just stay here. Come around here and sit in my chair." I was still standing up, and I didn't know what all was going on. I really didn't. I didn't know anything about this scripture. See, I grew up where they told us we didn't pay attention to the Old Testament, so I didn't ever pay attention to it. Boy, I tell you, if the Lord wants to get your attention, he'll have a few happenings, and you'll start finding the answers back there. So when I turned around, she was facing me, facing the wall behind me, and I turned around, and here's all these pictures, huge big paintings of owls. And I heard myself say again, "These are what's making you sick. That one over there's a king." She said, "But he's mad at you for talking in tongues." I said, "Well, he's a king in here, and you'll have to get rid of him." I didn't even know that it said bring nothing in your house like that. The owl is one of the abominable things. And if you tune in on owls, you'll find them. They're every place. So I said, "You'll have to get rid of these." She said, "Okay." And her husband called. He's a lawyer. And she said, "I'm healed, and I want to go out to dinner tonight." And
He said, "What's going on out there?" He had just had the word from the clinic. He said, "Now, when I get out of court, I'm coming home." So he said, "We'll see about that." Of course, he didn't believe. They were Nazarenes. Nazarenes don't believe in speaking in tongues anyway. And I wouldn't have ever said that if I would have been in my own carnal mind, you know. But the Holy Spirit was just saying these things out of me, and I was wondering what was really going on. So she gets out of bed when she finished talking, and she looked at me, and she says, "I believe I'm healed." And I said, "I believe you are too. Where two people agree as touching anything, it shall be done." So I said, "I'd like to walk through your house and see what else is in here that might be making you sick." She said, "All right." So we started to walk through, and she had all these mobiles, these things that hang down, you know, and strings, and they had owls on them, and those little eyes was rolling back and forth, and I was thinking, that looks like the devil, but I didn't know why I was thinking that. And then we went in the little girl's room. Here's a great big frog, 3 feet high, toy box. And I didn't know the book of Revelation said that the frogs were unclean spirits. Boy, I had some looking to do. This has been 12, 13 years ago. And I said to her, "Oh, I don't like the looks of those frogs' eyes." And she said, "Now, this is not very nice, but I'm going to tell it because this is what she said to me." She said, "You know, there's something strange about that frog ever since I've had it in this little girl's room." She said, "I've told my mother about it. My mother says, oh, well, kids do this. She would go out on the front lawn of Highway 7, take off her panties, and masturbate. 3 years old." And her grandma said, "Well, every kid does that. Don't worry about it." Well, I'd worry about it. So she was worried. The mother was worried about it. So I didn't say too much about get the frog out of there, but I didn't like the looks of his eyes. Every time I looked at anything in that house, it looked like satanic force to me. We walked in the kitchen, all over the house. So pretty soon I said, "I must go," because I still had to go to the grocery store and come back home. And she said, "I'll call you tonight." So when she came, when she told her mother about this, see, her mother had already gone taking the little girl. She said, "You can't tell your husband. He'll put us all in the mental hospital." And she said, "Just tell him we're going to paint. I'll come over there and take them things down and tell him we're going to paint." So she called and told me that. I said, "Look, at this stage, you better tell the truth to your husband." So she told him that night. Now, she had all the attributes of an owl, but I didn't know that right then. But she always did her housework at night, all night long. And she slept all day long till he come home from work. And the little girl did, too. They had all the attributes of an owl. When she got up and walked, I thought she walked like a penguin. What she was really doing was walking like an owl. And she had long nails that came clear around and curled around like claws. Well, I was getting educated. And that night she called. And she said, "I just went out to dinner." I said, "What did you eat?" She said, "A hamburger, French fries, and a Coke." I got off the phone. I said to Glenn, "She better be healed or she'll be dead by morning. She hasn't had any solid food." Next day, she was gaining 3 pounds right away. Every day or two, she'd gain more. We was all rejoicing. 2 weeks goes by, and the owls were down, and I'd run by and see her and pray some more for her and thank the Lord for her healing. And she was just blessing the Lord. And she called me one day, and she says, "Come up here quick. Mama's on the way." I said, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" She said, "Just come up here quick." I said, "I just spilled coffee down the front of me, down my blouse." She said, "That don't matter. Come on." So I ran out the car and went up there, and she says, "Get these owls out of my house." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "This morning I was walking down the hall, and something grabbed me. And I bent over double, and I started to vomit again." And she said, "I finally got back in the bed, and Amy, the little girl, went into the kitchen in the walk-in pantry and pulled out this biggest owl, who was the king, and come in and put it under her bed." And she was just about, isn't that something? The devil plays so unfair. No wonder I'm mad at him. I'm mad at him all the time. But I respect him. He's got power. So, okay, her mother came, and she started taking us through the house, showing us all the owls. She had jeans with applicate owls on them. She had about 20 baby bottles up on the top shelf. She stood up on top of the sink. She was getting stronger every day. Pull all these bottles out. They were all owls. Jewelry. See, this was when the Lord, I'm from Missouri, I have to be really see it to believe it. And I mean, there was so much stuff in that house. We had a whole carload. And then her mother says, "Your dad's going to have a fit. You can't throw away that $50 purse with those owls on it." And she said, "Well, I'm going to." He said, "Your dad won't like it." She said, "I can't help it. I've got to get well." And So she said, they said, what do we do with it? I said, take it down to Glenn. We had a great big old pond out here. And we put it in the pond. We burned everything we could. And Glenn got the caterpillar and ran over it. And we buried it forever. She had one more thing that she had brought in. She had gone on a cruise and bought a little teeny Buddha, gold, solid gold, and had it hanging around her neck. And so we got rid of that. And she's well today. Now you say, is that what causes cancer? I don't know, but that's one of the causes, because the proof is in the pudding. Her doctors told her, it'll come back on you. She just got tired of hearing them tell that. She didn't go back for all those tests again. She's well. She's happy. She lives in Denver now, and she was here, I think, Thanksgiving, and ate with us and was rejoicing in the Lord. Now, that was only the beginning. We went to Jackson, Mississippi to a convention. There was a woman there, and she come up to me, and she said, she heard the testimony or saw it on the tape, and she said, you know, I was a perfectly well person until I started to make ceramic owls at the ceramic class. That's the first thing they have you make, ceramic owls. And she says, right now I have a little cancer growing up like a tree here on the base of my brain, and it's inoperable. Then somebody else come and told me there's a Baptist preacher in Georgia, I think it was, and she started making ceramic owls at the class, and she suddenly got cancer. And it seems like it just makes you wane away. I went to California, and my little niece walked in, and she had brought to her mother a blue porcelain owl that had wooden spoons in it. I said, oh, honey. First I said to her, honey, are you sick? She said, oh, yes, Anna, I'm so sick, I can't eat anything. The doctor doesn't know what's wrong with my colon. I'm so sick. And then she goes out to the car and brings this in. I said, honey, that's what it is. And her mother, who has been a Christian, she's also a preacher's daughter. And she said, oh, don't pay any attention to Aunt Irma. That can't be true. And her little face, she'd lost so much weight, it wasn't this wide. And on and on and on, I could tell you of cases. Now, working with engineers, they get more than one case, don't you? I mean, you get all angles of it. So this is, bring no abominable thing into your house. It's an act of obedience if you stop bringing it in your house and get rid of it. Now we're going to pray and we're going to repent. Okay? Repent for disobedience to the word of God in ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We haven't had this knowledge, but now we have it. And now we have to do something about it. You may have to go home and toss out a lot of stuff. All kinds of things. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Lord, we admit we've been disobedient in ignorance. We haven't known what you meant. We haven't even known what you said, because we haven't studied the Word of God. And therefore we have been disobedient. Lord, I know you call that sin. And Lord, we received our wages. And Lord, we just ask you now to forgive us and cleanse us by your precious blood. Lord, we know that the anointing destroys these yokes on us. Because it's written in thy word. Today, we thank you for the anointing that's over this service to destroy the yoke of disease, all kinds of diseases, incurable diseases, arthritis, cancer, tumors, the itch, the botch, hemorrhoids, all other diseases, like arthritis, bursitis, diabetes, name some more, heart trouble, high blood pressure, asthma, allergies, eye problems, ear problems, thyroid problems, all kinds of tumors, growths, corns, any kind of thing wrong with the foot. Lord, we need strong bodies to do your work and be in this army. We don't want to come up with 4F on our card. We want to pass with divine health. Lord, we believe it's possible And today we're repenting for all these things we've done in ignorance. And we know your blood avails. Now right now, just allow the blood of Jesus. The anointing is here. The Holy Ghost is here to apply the blood over these areas to cleanse you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You're the deliverer. You're the deliverer. We look right at you, Jesus. We don't look at any man or any woman. We look at you, Jesus. Because your word is true. You say signs shall follow those that believe. And we're believing, Lord, for signs here this afternoon. For healing. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Now, back problems, mental problems, emotional problems, liver problems, respiratory problems, allergies of all kinds, kidney problems, circulatory problems, anemia, stomach and bowels, colon problems. What? Oh, bones, yes, bones. Bones. Deterioration of the bones. Yeah. Teeth and gums.
Accident prone.
Yes. The devil trying to kill you. I was born with a curse. The day I was born, my grandmother wished I would die. I went to death's door so many times. And I would always be mad at my brother because he wouldn't have measles or whooping cough or anything bad. And I'd have it so bad I'd be sick for days. And they'd almost despair of my life. But one day some man of God discerned a curse of death on me, broke it, and I have been all the more healthy ever since then. Now, I'm not totally whole yet, but I'm working for that, for divine health. I believe the Lord took those stripes that we can have that. Do you believe that? Are we believers here this afternoon? Okay, now we're going to command accident. I'm going to command, just a minute, I want to command the spirit of death to leave every person in here and the curse of death in the name of Jesus. You've had your wages. We don't want these wages anymore, and the devil's not going to put this on us anymore. I bind the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of death. I command him to come out now in the curse of death. Any word spoken, any person that said, I wish I would die, come on out in Jesus' name. You don't have to make a big scene here this afternoon. You're bound. We bind the strong man over this building this afternoon in the name of Jesus. Command all these death spirits to go. All these diseases to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. We had a girl sitting right over here one day about 2 years ago. She had a cancer right up here. We didn't know it. She never said anything, but she'd already had the biopsy, and they were going to take it off the following week, and she never said anything. She never even asked for prayer, but during the prayer, she said she felt a lot of fire go in there. 3 days later, she was singing and playing on her harp after her bath in the evening, had on her robe and gown, and all of a sudden she felt something. She reached up, and that thing had dropped off. Is the Lord real? Yes, he's real. He wants to heal you this afternoon. He wants you to be well and happy. We come against all these diseases of Egypt, and we command them to come out of you now in Jesus' name. Come out of these people now. That's right. Let them come out. Bring them up. Call them out. Let them go in Jesus' name. Don't be so modest. Let them go in Jesus' name. This is life or death here this afternoon for many of you. In the name of Jesus, we command death to go and life to come in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you have to go out of the ears, out of the throat, out of the adenoids, in the name of Jesus, out of the stomach, in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave them now, in Jesus' name. Leave them now, in the name of Jesus. One day I was coughing. Now, you know, preacher's kids, we're noted to be bad. Well, I was pretty obedient when I was home, but one day I tried cigarettes. I didn't smoke very many. They're terrible. But I was coughing, and I walked into Kevin's room, Patty's husband back there. I don't know where he is now, making the drinks probably. And he whirled around at me, and he said, "You sting of death, come off of her in the name of Jesus." And I went, when I did, a whole bunch of cigarette smoke come right out of my lungs. And I said, "Did you smell that?" He said, "Do you smoke?" I said, No, I don't smoke." And see, there was something in there. Something in there, the debris in there. So I was meditating on that about 2 days later, and all of a sudden, and I was in my same, I used to sit up, I lived up in the mobile home for a long time, and I used to have my prayer place. It was in the living room in an overstuffed chair, and I was sitting in that chair just letting the Lord minister to me, and I could feel the angels of the Lord around me, and and I feel strength come into me. And all of a sudden, I gave a big cough just out of a clear blue sky, and a thing about this big around let loose right inside of my lungs. It hurt for a while, and it was like a little ladybug in the middle. It looked like a ladybug, something like a ladybug, a little red thing. I know now it's a piece of my lung, and out from it went veins, like veins, blood veins. But it was clear otherwise. It was clear. It wasn't mucus, but it was just like an entity in there, an organism or something in there. And that came out. It was a cancer spirit. It was the starting of cancer. Everybody that's ever smoked. I remember there was a missionary lady come here, and she was here 6 weeks, and I thought she was an angel. She was so sweet and precious. Last day she said, I want you to pray for me about when I used to smoke. I said, oh, okay. So we just started to pray for her, and all of a sudden the whole room filled up with menthol cigarette smoke. Well, that'll make a believer out of you quick, won't it? So we're going to come against the sting of death in you this afternoon. Is that all right? Yes. Everybody that's ever smoked, let's see your hands. I mean, everybody. Be honest now. Okay. Well, there's a lot of stings in here. Are you with me back there, Bob? You believing from the back room? Amen. Okay, we bind the sting of death. We command sting of death to come out of these people from smoking cigarettes. All the effects, all the consequences of disobedience to God. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. You sting of death, I command you to come out now in Jesus' name. I command you to come out. Breathe them out. Let them go. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. We don't want anything left in there, do we? In the name of Jesus. 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 Sting of death. Who knows what's going to happen 3 days from now? Yes. Yes. Spirit of unbelief. Lord, we know there are many Christians with closed minds. Brother Bob talked about that yesterday and today. Lord, we want to be open to change. You said little by little you're going to change us. And Lord, we don't know everything. We only know in part. But Lord, we want you to teach us. And Lord, we pray for these people that won't believe anything. We break that bondage off of them. In the name of Jesus, we break that bondage. We pull down the strong man over them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did you learn anything this afternoon? Maybe the teacher taught then. You want to come against something? Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, that's part of it is gluttony, part of it is glandular trouble, part of it is just overeating too much and not even caring, and self-reward, you know, self-reward.
And no self-respect for the self.
Yes. A girl called me today. She's married to a man from Libya, crying and weeping over the phone. He's constantly, this is their time to fast this whole month. And this every year, she's got three children, and every year he threatens to leave her. And this morning he threatened again, and he left. And he says if she won't, he won't ever come back unless he can take the kids to the mosque down here in Dallas. And I said, well, he's threatened that before. And she says, I want to tell you I've lost 100 pounds this year. She was very obese. And she says, we've had a better year this year. About every year at this time, she has to call me because he makes these threats, and she gets panicky and cries and doesn't want them. He says he's going to take the children to Libya, and she'll never see them again unless he can take them to the mosque. And so we need to pray for her. Her name is Judy. And what was it we got to pray for? I got off on this rabbit trail. Obesity. Okay. Okay. Fat. Plain fat. What? Oh, yeah, hiding behind it. And water retention. Water retention. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to help us. We ask you, Lord, for the anointing now to break this yoke of obesity, of overeating, of fat, yes, of gluttony, of glandular trouble, of bulimia, yes, gorging yourself and then throwing it up. Bulimia, in the name of Jesus, I command that all of it to come out of us now, in the name of Jesus. All fat spirits, water retention spirits.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC www.bibleonline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.